The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and at this time of holidays, I want to thank all the listeners. I have over 28,000 people listening just after 7 months on the air. So thank you for listening and continue to recommend the show to others. We cover every subject related to families, helping families be healthier and happier. So today we're going to be talking about making your food and fitness and your feelings all work for you together. We're bombarded every day with this or that study showing how lifestyle factors affect our chances of getting life-threatening diseases or of gaining weight, or of just feeling down or fatigued or depressed day in and day out. It can be confusing and overwhelming. Try to change your diet, choose an exercise program, bolster your attitude, and still keep up with all your activities at work at home. Is there a way to make it all work together? My guest this week is Mark Goodwin, a visionary wellness coach whose varied background makes him uniquely qualified to develop programs that address all the stressors in an individual and a family's life so that they can achieve physical and emotional fitness. He'll talk about how you can make better food choices, cook cool, tasty food that just happens to be good for you, understand and manage your stress, strengthen your body, and improve your emotional outlook as well, all within the parameters of your particular family life. Mark Goodwin is a certified wellness coach, certified personal trainer, and executive chef, as well as a certified posture alignment specialist in the EgoSkew method. His success with clients of all ages and lifestyles comes from his multidisciplinary approach, which he customizes for the unique needs of each individual. He served for 15 years as executive chef and wellness coordinator for QVC, the famous national shopping network. He's certified by the American College of Sports Medicine as a wellness coach and is certified by American Fitness Professionals and Associates as a personal trainer. He has over 30 years' experience as an executive chef and has worked as personal trainer and wellness coach with Integrated Health Chiropractic in Westchester, Pennsylvania with Drs. Brian and Christina Schuffler, both chiropractors. He's been a featured speaker at Westchester University, the Chester County Health Department, and the Chester County Hospital. Mainline Today magazine named him as one of the 33 men to watch in 2004. So thank you for joining us on Family First, Mark.
It's my pleasure, Randy. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's great to have you. How did you first become interested in helping families with their wellness, Mark? Can you tell us the beginning story?
Yeah, absolutely. There was about three key stages to it. The first one was when I was working for QVC, and it was in the later 90s, and I was sitting down with a dietitian who was visiting doing a program. I don't remember a conversation, but I asked her what you suggested someone to cook. And she had looked at me and said, well, I don't know how to cook. And I kind of had a question was, how could you tell people how to eat for a living but not know how to cook? And it just kind of sparked an interest to start looking at nutrition. So I started taking some classes over at local Immaculata University. And I also started doing some presentations for the local Chester County Hospital. And I sat down with them, and they said, well, we would like you to do a meal for a diabetic. And I said, well, I won't do a meal for a diabetic. And they go, but we want to hire you and pay you to do that. I said, well, what I would like to do is I'd like to do an entire meal that the whole family can enjoy including a diabetic, that would be diabetic friendly, but still the rest of the family can enjoy it. And I put one together, and during the presentation, I did the seminar and came up, and there's a large group of people, and this one older woman came up in one of those scooters and goes, "Thank you for your presentation. It was fantastic, and I really, really hope they were listening. It's very important." I said, "Thank you," and I appreciate. She goes, "No." She looked at me in the eye and goes, "No, it's too late for me now. I've had too many of this disease and other complications that progressed. I really hope they listen because you can really change someone's life." And that's when it first started hitting me that, wow, what, this is for real. This is pretty huge. So my first course over in Immaculata, I was doing papers and I had to write a paper. And I found this article by the American Dietetics Journal. It was on a supplement in 1997 or 98. And it was on the obesity crisis. And I'm going through it. There was 5 to 6 position papers, Randy, that called for this multidisciplinary approach. And they asked, with the doctor, nurse, dietitians, sports physiologists, behavioralists. And I'm reading through all this and looking at all the studies and everything that was going on. And my first question was, why aren't they welcoming the chefs that can help them to make this food taste good, that can help to change food trends, to do a lot of things on that? And then I started looking at numbers that, wow, this country is 33% obese. The increase of diabetes, even where type 2 is now type 2, where it used to be called adult onset diabetes, but now with the prevalence among our children, it was renamed to type 2. So that just kind of all started the journey, and the further I got into it, I was in nutrition heavily for all these years since 98, got into be a personal trainer, marathon runner, and got into wellness coaching. It was just kind of this path that really produced this, and I ended up being, it's funny, after that first article, the foundation of my belief in what I do is the need for a multidisciplinary approach to really make long-term lifestyle changes and improve people's habits and results.
That's a great story. Yeah, that certainly explains how you have the multidimensional approach, and that one article really caught your attention, that you had something to bring to the table that, and put it all together. So what special understanding did you gain from having been a chef for so long and being focused on making making food appealing and tasty?
Huge. A lot. And one thing, being, you know, lucky enough to work at QVC for the 13 to 15 years that I was there for, and running the cafeteria, and we would do 700-800 for breakfast. We would do another 800-1,000 for lunch, and being there for years and seeing people come through. And through the 90s and late 90s and all through 2000, there's so many diet trends that came through. We saw Atkins, we saw the fat-free, we saw, you know, a lot of these things that impacted what we sold, what people were eating. Even some things that different diet programs and exercise machines that QVC was selling. So really, it was almost like this ongoing study of what I had and realizing that. But the thing that I gained most from it as a chef is people eat what they like long-term. And they're only going to eat what they like long-term, that the reason why diets have such a low success rate is because you're not addressing the taste. You know, like there's a lot of studies that are going out, one of which they really tried to look at the different diets that were out there, and they used about 5 of them. And I know, I think Atkins was on there, South Beach, Raw Diet, a lot of these different ones. And they had trouble getting results, Randy, because no one stayed on them long enough to get a good idea how long, what the impact was, because people had problems keeping on this in long term. So that's where the making progressive changes, a part of what we do is, you know, maintain the base of the foods that one likes, but making these progressive changes that will impact your health long term. So all of a sudden you change the way you're eating, you're really not completely thinking about it, but when you sit down to a meal, you enjoy that, and that meal can change over months and years versus what it is, but it's progression, but people have to enjoy it. The foods first. Just that's the only way to work long term.
That makes so much sense, that you're going to get compliance only if they like the food, because food's a big part of people's lives and it's one of their few pleasures that they can count on. And if they are being asked to eat stuff they don't really like, it's just not going to last very long. Yeah,
exactly.
I can certainly understand that. I've always said that that eating is truly a right brain activity. It's not something you're going to really want to stick with a lot of counting and convincing yourself you have to eat this or you have to eat that. It's really right. Something that comes from deeper inside, and you need to like what you're eating in the long term. That makes so much sense.
Well, even as a chef, you know, when I'm just training my young culinarians and they want to really make these really good dishes and want to how to make them as good as that, you need to understand the culture of it. You need to understand the environment that the foods were developed in, the recipes, you know, whether it be Mediterranean, Asian, Southwest Caribbean, whatever other things, is to appreciate the culture. And a lot of times, well, diets really don't appreciate culture. And one of the best courses I took at Immaculata that the Dietetic Association, the dietitians and the writers of the programs realized, hey, you know, America is a melting pot. And, you know, with the Afro-American community, the Hispanic community, the Asian community, a lot of the traditions and beliefs and things are highly affected. So understanding those traditions, not only from the food, but respecting the cultural traditions and how things go on. So if you don't really respect that dinner table, it kind of goes back first, even before I really understood completely what I was doing that. You know, if you have someone that's just, you know, eating a piece of lemon seared chicken and some steamed broccoli, and they've got a heavy culture influence in the table and the holidays and everything, that separates them. And that makes them feel even like they're completely alone at a dinner table. And, you know, they're on the outside and you don't want to do that. And there is some transitioning and different choices that will go on, of course. But those are some things you also need to gain understanding of the cultural identity of that family. And just as you look on the families, the family unit, the ages of the kids and different things, really understanding. Because in wellness coaching, you know, we have a lot of different sayings and core sayings, and one of which is if you're not coaching the environment, you're only coaching 50% of the challenge. So really understand the environmental influence also.
Oh, that's such an important point, the cultural influences. I've traveled many different parts of the world, and I was always fascinated that the traditional diet had a wonderful combination of everything you need to have. But as soon as you drop pieces out of it, it starts and put refined fabricated foods into it, then people start having more health problems. So if they're gaining weight, then to have them lose it, they can still stay in that cultural tradition. There's a lot of wisdom in those cultures. But whoever's preparing the diet for them, like you would be, you can take that into account. As a chef, you know a whole lot more about all those cultures than just prescribing 25 foods they should eat. It makes a lot of sense. So what do you think is the biggest challenge for families today to stay healthy as far as wellness?
I'm going to look at two things. Media influence, environment influence is two-part of one that, you know, it's you know, how many times have we seen a commercial? One commercial is supersized, and the next commercial is lose it in 30 days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where the diet industry is a $33 billion a year business that really fails about 70-80% of the time. Some of the diet fads have passed us a little bit, and there are some changes, but a lot of things that are put out there, and again, you look at the marketing of things in prefab and even too now that the food marketers are using, you know, labeling as best to their advantage as they can. There's even one law where you look at something such as a label saying something's all natural. Well, all natural by law only has to be 51% all natural. So there's different things going in how that's produced. And then also too is how busy families are. Part of when I talk or I speak, that I don't put on this qualification, but it's my most important qualification that I love and am blessed to have, is I'm married 28 years to my beautiful bride in Virginia, and then we raised four kids. And I will be a grandfather end of January, February, coming up for the first time, so we're excited about that.
Congratulations.
But raising the four kids and seeing and going through it, and when I was with QVC before that, I was all hotels and restaurants, nights, weekends, holidays, not being home a lot. But I was really home for those 13 years and raising the four kids and understanding with two working parents, with busyness of the kids, commitments, things to do. So how can the parents survive developing healthy options with the kids, and make it simple, make it pleasurable, and still maintain the schedules and everything. What's going on? Real busy now. So those are the two things that I think are the biggest challenges.
Well, that certainly sounds like it hits the nail on the head, and you've had personal experience with that real busy family life. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the kids are bombarded constantly with the commercials. The advertisers have found that if they can get to the kids, they end up getting to the parents because the parents are tired and busy, and they just buy whatever the kids tell them to buy sometimes.
Oh, when I always joke around, I go, how old is it when kids can read what they want? And people kind of hesitate, and I go, it's usually between – anywhere from 2.5 to 3 or 4, and then watching the commercials with Tony the Tiger and, the tricks and these sugar cereals, and you go in the market and where all the sugary cereals placed, but on the bottom shelf at eye level of these kids. First the marketing on TV and publications, and then the food placement in the grocery stores. And it's hard for parents to, battle through that. There's all ways of getting around it, but it kind of puts another angle, if the kids have to and parents have to work through.
Yeah, there's no accident there that they're cute little symbols at the
right.
Toddler's height. As a fitness trainer, a lot of people get into fitness and don't really pay much attention to their nutrition. So how do you bring those two together when you put a program together for someone?
Well, the first thing that I do is when someone's coming together, is I let them know, I am not a registered dietitian. I'm halfway through my degree. All my mentors are the local dietitians in the area, and majority of what I talk about and go through is from the ADA, American Dietetic Association, but I'm also open, to new approaches, holistic approaches, things like that. So what I do is I call it culinary coaching. And first of all, if I were to have a client, a family member come in that someone has very recently had a heart attack diagnosed with diabetes, hypertension that they're on medication for, I will always refer out to a dietitian first. And then they come back and we work the how-tos. But what I do is culinary coaching. And so what that basically is, it's educating and questioning. So, someone's coming into fitness, I'll ask them, well, what are you aware of the importance of breakfast and going to things and choices? And what are you, as you start to maintain activity, what are you aware about what you should eat prior to that and after that? And then I would educate them. By eating something, 150 to 200 calories about an hour to 2 hours prior before a workout to maintain your glucose level storage so you can maximize your workout and not get dizzy or have shakes when you're working out. And then we go through asking, well, what do you feel you can do? What do you think you could eat? And even if they're not sure, then I start questioning about what they know and then, making them aware of some things that athletes would have. Even families just walking through something like before that would be like a carbohydrate and a protein combination, and then about recovery. So that way they understand that the fitness and the nutrition need to go hand in hand. As people look at what I do, it's the more things we can kind of put together. Even my business logo is based on food choices, activity, and habits coming together slowly. And so that's a really great question about, when someone does start a program and when they need to and when they don't. Someone going out for a walk for a half hour that they're just starting out is completely different to the person that's up to jogging for 45 minutes to an hour on treadmill or outside. The nutritional requirements are slightly different.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. We are up on a break, Mark, and I want to hear more about how you integrate the food, the fitness, and the feelings. We're talking with Mark Goodwin, a certified wellness coach and personal trainer and longtime chef. So he has some great insights on how we can really improve our lifestyle. So do listen back.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible? a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and we're talking about how to make your food, fitness, and feelings all work for you together. And our expert today is Mark Goodwin, who's a certified wellness coach and certified personal trainer and also an executive chef. He worked for many years as executive chef and wellness coordinator with QVC and has also been wellness trainer with chiropractic practice, and now he's on his own with All-in-One Health and Wellness. And he's been sharing some great ideas about how to integrate your fitness program with your nutrition program, and to he focuses particularly on cultural awareness and really focusing on the needs of the particular person and family and what's comfortable enough for them so that they can stick with the program for long-term benefit. So, Mark, thank you so much for your comments. And I wanted to ask you about, you also emphasize the importance of feelings in your work with food and fitness. And you've hinted at that as far as they've got to feel good about what they're eating at the family table. Can you tell more about how you decided that the feelings were an important part of your holistic approach?
A lot of times people kind of have come to me just, and again, they initially come to look at weight loss and look at getting in shape. And if they had a successful record, you know, they'd be doing well on their own, but they come to me because they had, you know, had not succeeded in the past, or they've used the words failed. There are times that they have time issues, timing issues, the commitment issues, but also there's other things. There's self-efficacy issues, believing that they actually can do it. There's self-esteem issues, believing that they deserve to do it. And then also where the other big parts on feelings, two key areas, is not having the energy to do it, very low energy, or that stress impacts a lot. I've had many sessions where clients are coming in for a wellness coaching session to look at their goals from the past week and review their vision, or they're coming in for a training session, and they come in and the eyes look tired and bloodshot, their shoulders are coming forward, and they just come in and start rambling on about something like, whoa, time out here. And we will actually go in a stress management session just to deep breathing, some meditation, some picturing in some different areas, discussing things and working how we can work to decrease that stress. It can be the inability to, you know, disconnect from their work, just having to keep it with it. You know, a lot of times my ladies that are mothers and business people and active in the church have the inability to say no and overcommit themselves and overstress and everything, and just working on prioritizing what's really important in life, using the powerful question of what's the three most important things in your life. and that when we're having a lot of things we're doing take up our time, that that's not impacting there. Sometimes, you know, you need to make a decision. And when I kind of get them and they're there, I kind of ask them that question or make a statement. And as a coach, you always avoid making statements or giving advice unless, you know, we'll ask for permission, kind of put a different hat on. Mine one is that you need to understand something right now, that you need to disconnect to choose something, because if not, it's going to choose you. And that's what stress does. If we don't address stress issues, if we don't manage that long-term, stress is going to choose something, and how it comes out could be something simple to something very serious.
So you really get behind all of the decisions about food and or the non-decisions about food and inactivity to find out what feelings are really triggering their particular lifestyle at the time.
Yeah, exactly. Wellness coaching is based on positive psychology. And again, I'm certified by Wellness Well Coaches, which is endorsed by the American College of Sports Medicine and also the International Coaching Federation. And so as we're looking from that coaching standpoint, it's really key just to get that feedback and understand where they're at and the decisions that they try to make, and just help them to disconnect at times, help themselves move forward. And what the positive psychology is based on, and it's a philosophy from Carl Jung, that we truly can resolve our greatest problems, we can only move forward. So that's really the difference between coaching and therapy, where therapy looks to resolve, when people try to resolve that, or wellness coaching will work to move forward to that, to outgrow that, even our training and certification and our legal liabilities, that if someone can't move forward to something, then we respectfully refer them to a therapist, to a psychologist, someone that can help them out a little bit more.
Yeah, that sounds important, to be able to refer them to further help if they need it. Can you give an example, one of your case histories of how the family has been able to make the changes necessary to improve their lifestyle or their weight or their health picture?
Absolutely. You know, working with a mother and a son that both had a large amount of weight that they both needed to lose. And, you know, first starting over in their home, going through some things, doing the coaching, doing the advising, and then bring him into the training studio and combining the aspects of wellness coaching and personal training, the culinary coaching, and using that as needed in different areas. The young man started me at 17. He's now 19. He's lost 70 pounds, since he started with me and got himself extremely strong, playing basketball for an hour and a half, 2 hours. He's even working with a tree company, cutting down trees, moving logs, very hard physical that he's doing really well on. And he's really, and what we focused on is that his eating, adjusting his eating habits also, so that he's going to maintain it long term. On that, he's been doing fantastic. Mom, who's an awesome person, hasn't had the total success that he has in the weight loss, has some jaws weight loss, but has truly improved her strength. When individuals are working with people that are morbidly or seriously overweight, that it really takes a good amount of time to lose that weight. There's so many factors involved in successful long-term weight loss, but you can get stronger. You can sit there and a couple times a week through weight training, body weight training, working on some cardio, that you can get the body stronger. And someone will think there go that if just falling down and getting up is success, you know, where this woman came to me and if she fell down, she would be concerned if she can get back up. And she gets herself back up, that going up and down stairs, not have to stop halfway up. And she got me a couple weeks ago, said, come here, I need you to see this. And she starts basically running up the stairs, and it was just phenomenal. So we're working through that. And again, we're making the long-term behavioral changes. So she's really done well on food choices, looking on gluten-free. Sometimes those old habits kind of come back up. So, you know, when we look at someone's carrying an extremely large amount of weight, it takes years to get that way, you know, and it might take a year to change up long term to do that. There's been many successful weight losses, but also there hasn't been. And a lot of times we're getting with the people that have large amounts of weight to lose. That's where the self-efficacy and the self-esteem come in. And just by changing things a little things. And I know I worked with a woman for a year that couldn't get over herself to get over the gym that she had ran her housing development. And she came in one day and looks at me and goes, I know I'm not going over there. I go, why? She goes, because I don't believe I can do it. I really don't believe I can lose this weight. And I looked at her and I said, great. She goes, what do you mean great? I go, now we got our starting point. Now we can talk about this. Now we can get you to move forward. And you know, the success started happening.
Oh, that's a great story. Thank you for sharing that.
Pleasure.
You being a chef, do parents have to learn any fancy cooking skills to be able to cook tasty food that actually good for the family, like you said?
Absolutely, absolutely not. Again, it's what's cool right now is there's so many avenues for them between the TV, the internet, the Food Network, Cooking Channel, Travel Channel, that there's a lot of cooking shows they could see, but just basic cooking skills. And that's really a difference that I took under consideration is, there's some wonderful chefs who's joined dietitians and healthy cooking programs. And they don't recognize the people at home without the skills and the different ingredients and techniques and style. I've actually developed a seminar workshop that's a Pantry 101, what to buy, how to buy it, how to shop, difference between, name brands and generics, and difference between products such as ground turkey, ground beef, how to read it, how to shop to get the best choices. And then I do a Pantry 102 that really takes some basic roasting and just by taking a saute pan and how to brown real easy and doing things, so you can prepare things ahead of time. And you can just toss them together within 5 minutes during the week for dinner. So that's a really great question. Now, yeah, just some basic cooking skills, a cutting board, the right knives, understanding the cleanliness of washing cutting boards, and just by getting the basics, because you need to keep the basics from a time aspect.
Oh, I love hearing that. That's one of my favorite sticking points is to the keeping the cutting board busy and clean.
Absolutely. And even such a trick of, timing the oven and when to get things done. And if you have raw product, when to do it and wash it, and maybe, using a raw, when to do a raw chicken and wash it to clean and sanitize that cutting board and go back and really stressing that. Because a lot of times people, get sick in the homes and there's a lot of salmonella that happens in the home that people think it's just the flu or bug or something or a stomach virus. And, those things happen in the home.
Yeah, I took a course one time on microorganisms to flesh out my nutrition education, and the teacher had never thought of that. She talked all about the bugs and diseases, and she said she had never thought of not cutting her chicken on the same place she was going to cut her salad.
One thing they understand is like what I like to do with people is to say, pick a protein like, say, chicken breast. You've got a family of four, family of six, that you take about 2-3 pounds, 4 pounds of chicken breast, season them up in just a neutral season, give them a little flavor. You roast them off at 350 to 325 for about 25 to 30 minutes, depending on the thickness and everything. And then you put them in the oven to cool, into the refrigerator, cool them down. So what you're doing is you're cooking them right till they're done, and they're safe, bacteria is done, they're cooked. But then you want to stop that cooking process as quick as you can so they stay nice and moist. But also you want to limit the time they're staying warm. So I say put them into the refrigerator uncovered. I'm like, oh, we can't put it in a cover. I said put it in a safe place, high, so where nothing's going to spill on them. And they'll cool down as quick as they can. Because what people don't realize in the food business, all the chefs and the food service staff, we have large rolling carts. And at times just to do, like if we're doing banquets or preparing something that large ahead, QVC, we would do huge amounts. You'd have to par cook things and you put them in the refrigerator and get them cool as quick as you can. So just by taking when you have leftovers at night or if you're cooking something and it's big batches, that to leave it uncovered and so it'll cool down quicker. A lot of times people put it in plastic and cover it up, and what plastic doesn't transfer heat. So it's actually keeping it warmer longer and keeping it covered. So putting something in the refrigerator, uncovered, cooling down, I even take it, I put it on a plate so it's nice and spread out. So you improve your product, you improve your shelf life, and you lessen the chance of anybody getting ill.
That makes a lot of sense. That's a great tip. So,
thank you.
So when switching back to fitness, you've already described how you helped that mother and son get on an active fitness program. What do you do when you have a family that just says, oh, we don't have time, or kids aren't sports people, they're more homework people? How do you convince or educate a family into finding ways to integrate activity into their lives?
Basically, is kind of from two things. First is once people say, "Well, I don't have time," I said, "So you don't have time to do it. You don't have an hour. There's 168 hours in a week, and you're telling me you don't have an hour or 2 hours to go for a walk with the kids or do that." Well, I said, then let's take a look, and we'll even break it down. So take Tuesday or Wednesday and what's your schedule, and pull out your day planner. We actually will go through that, and then what I have them do is have them make an appointment for themselves or for their family. It's just as said, if all of a sudden you got a phone call, you're at work, or something came up and you had to go to the doctor for an hour, or you had to stop off and help at a church for an hour, something comes up, you always find time. But for people to prioritize themselves and to make appointments for themselves is different. So we first work on acceptance of doing that. And then the importance is finding out, well, what is it the kids like to do? What is the family like to do? And if, even if to start off, if it's, you know, retail therapy, then that's the starting point. You know, retail therapy, right?
Yes.
Yep. I heard that about 3 years ago. I'm like, what? And they go, yeah, walk, going over the mall. So even by, okay, let's go to the mall, but let's get our blood flowing a little bit. So let's park further away and let's use the stairs instead of the escalators, and let's kind of hit the store and then go back and forth. Seeing what you enjoy. It's like, hey, how about when we go to the park, or let's go up to, you know, sightseeing somewhere, or do something. So you're just starting it off little by little. You know, hey, you know, when we're kids, didn't you used to like to ride bikes? Well, get family some bikes, or go down to the shore and rent some bikes. And what, you know, it's Nancy Clark, who's one of top sports nutritionists and dietitians, you know, did a seminar on it, and she says E for exercise stands for enjoyment. So you need to address and find out what they enjoy. And sometimes you got to go back to see what they like to do as kids, and then reincorporate that and make it fun. And once a certain foundation is there, you know, then, hey, you know what, this is feeling good. Maybe, you know, we could get a little walking program going, or maybe, you know, hey, let's try going to the gym. And there's so many different programs out now. Like for young girls, Zumba is ideal. It's dancing. You get up there and moving. And the most important, and whether it be through my Gosky training, whether it be through personal training or wellness coach, it's movement. Any movement is good. And it's to get people up and to get them moving. Even like we look at the game thing, where they recognize such as we, you know, have we family night, and there's tennis, there's jogging, there's games that you can do just to get up and get people moving. And again, even make that progressive, make your fitness progressive and build it up.
Oh, there's some great ideas. I know my 4-year-old grandson loves Wii, and there is so much. And so how important do you think it is intergenerationally that you have young people coming and said, well, my parents never worked out, and why should I? They're still alive. And or right now, parents who have little kids and they think they don't have time, but they're trying to tell their kids to work out. Do you find that you need to draw the parents in and ask and try to educate them to set an example?
That is huge on so many levels.
We're up on another break, so let's hold that thought and come back to it.
I will hold that thought. I'll talk it in, stop talking. I'll be ready for you when you want me.
Okay, we're talking with Mark Goodwin, a certified wellness coach and personal trainer and chef, and he brings all this together to really help your food, fitness, and feelings all work together for you. So stay tuned.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun?
Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
The Total Education Network is the only network that airs shows 7 days a week on various stations. Please go to our website, www.totaltutor.org, for more information about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide educational news and tips for parents. The Total Education Network, the talk shop for parents, teachers, and administrators. That's www.totaltutor.org.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Goodwin, who's a certified wellness coach, personal trainer, and chef. And he has wonderful customized programs to really get to the heart of how to keep a person and a family healthy with good coaching, cultural awareness, and working with the person, where they're coming from, what kind of activities, what kinds of foods do they actually like, that he can help them develop a healthy wellness program around that. And just before the break, we were talking about how important it is to have parents setting an example of a balanced lifestyle. So can you expound on that, Mark?
Absolutely. That really the parents really set the tone and set the foundation of things, because the kids mirror a lot of what the parents are doing. And there's times when they hit those mid-teens, early teens, where they kind of are testing their independency. So leading by example is very important. And educating the parents on finding some sort of activity that they enjoy to do to get up and to moving around. And even understanding that just because they're not feeling anything right now doesn't mean there's something that's not going on. And kind of, I've got a technique when I'm working with them is, you know, I ask them, you know, what's the three most important things in the life, and really prioritize family, friends, business, church, community, health, children, whatever that is, and then kind of ask them, and you know, where do you feel your best self is right now? Really think about that: energy, strength, how your clothes feel, weight management, functional fitness, and where do you feel you're at your best self? And if you took a little time just to increase your best self, how do you feel you can impact that a little bit more? And people start to kind of realize, sit there and go, well, you know, I am a little stressed, my energy's low, my pants feel, you know, so they kind of recognize that if they take some time, that they can impact the things that are most important. And other point is that the kids mirror that. And, you know, if the parents are sitting home and watching TV, the kids are going to sit home and watch TV. The parents are up and moving and doing things. It definitely creates more of a positive environment. And as we mentioned at the beginning, that, you know, that environment, the home environment that the parents create, is can be key on their own health, but the kids' long-term success. And if not for themselves, then, you know, then for their children, you know. And again, that's where the wellness coaching comes in, is the vision, what you see for the future and what your motivators are and what obstacles are and how to kind of overcome those things. So, you know, what you said, I think that's one of the best questions yet, is the importance of the parents setting an example.
Well, thank you. Yes, I think it's super important. And I like your idea of taking time to get in touch with yourself. When do you feel good? What don't you like about what's happening for you? And I heard about a program where they're actually teaching kids to recognize what they're feeling in their bodies, that when they get a craving to get a big hamburger or something, what are they feeling? They may be hungry or tired or thirsty or feeling alone, instead of they have to have this hamburger. And just having people take the time to think, what am I feeling, seems to be a critical thing right now, because people are so stressed. They just keep going, doing what is next rather than knowing their priorities. And so your approach, sounds so effective to help them really get in touch with what's going on for them.
You know, even, you know, like common, you know, and I'm sure with your nutrition background, working with people, the common question a lot of us get is, well, I really overeat at night. What can you do for me? How can I stop that? And my question is, well, we first need to find out what's the cause of overeating at night. And it's normally three things. Are you hungry? Because people won't eat during the day. They'll skip breakfast. They'll skip things. So they think they're cutting on the calories, but then they overeat at night. Are you a trigger eater? Like with me, you know, a football game comes on, oh my God, gotta have something salty. Are you emotional? Are you stressed? Are you stress eating? Or are you just eating out of habit? Because every night for 5 years, you get your bowl of ice cream, you have that, and you don't even think about it. So before we're looking, as we're setting an example and we're having challenges, we need to understand what factors are influencing what we have going on for the own habits that we're doing.
That makes a lot of sense, and that it's a big thing of people rushing through the day and then having that quiet time where they decide to overdo it with the food. So what would be just an example of a quick, easy breakfast that parents could make sure their kids are getting, and they should eat it too? I had a client one time, she didn't really eat until the kids were in bed, and then she'd have a big bowl of popcorn, a little ice cream, and so, yeah, I know that. That's a big problem. So what's a breakfast that a parent could prepare quickly and share with the kids?
Well, two of them. And a lot of times the kids are going on the go. So these are two items that they can get themselves to eat at home or on the go. And one is and it's kind of popping now, is smoothies. Have the ability of smoothies at the house. Keeping in, you know, bags of frozen strawberries, blueberries. You know, I always get bananas, and I'll use them as they start to turn. I'll put them in the freezer, so that way you can get in two fruit servings. And there's the yogurts. There's some, you know, liquid yogurts that you can throw in there, and even just to thin things out. You got some orange juice or apple juice, you can thin it out. And, you know, some things that I like to add in it, you know, I might add in flaxseed. I'll do a tablespoon or two tablespoons of flaxseed to get some good ALA omega-3s into me. I like cinnamon. You know, I'll put in one that, you know, I like the flavor. Cinnamon gives it a good flavor. But also there's some studies that are showing that that cinnamon helps to control blood sugar, which if you're controlling blood sugar, you're controlling energy. So, you know, you want to make sure that smoothie is good. The fruit smoothies are great, but, you know, using a yogurt like maybe a Greek yogurt that has a little bit higher protein in it, using things that to make sure you're getting enough things so it stays with you and you've got even energy through the day. The other one is I look as one of the simplest things you can do, Randy, but every time I do it, it's like this major hitter. Like, this is great. I'm like, it's and all it is, it's a banana in a blanket. And just I take a whole wheat tortilla. I'll take, you know, 1 to 2 tablespoons of a peanut butter, you know, a natural is great. And then a ripe banana and put in and roll it up. And it's like a banana in tortilla. And what I like about
That's
it is
great.
You're getting a fruit serving in there. You're getting fiber in there. You've got the peanut butter, which is a great combination of healthy fats and good protein. So these are healthier options, but also as we talk about our energy standpoint, it's something that's going to help them get through that morning so you don't have that 10 o'clock crash. So, and when you get to lunch, you're not going to be overly famished. So you can really help you to, you know, we talk about change and everything, to be mindful of making that lunch choice that, hey, what's the best choice that I can make right now?
That's great. Those are easy and fun and delicious and nutritionally balanced for a quick breakfast. That's wonderful. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but I do want you to tell a little bit about your special alignment program, the EGOSCU. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, it's EGOSCU. Our founder is Pete EGOSCU. I think it was about 3-4 years ago, maybe now, Brian Brady, who's one of the vice presidents of development there, was doing seminars, and I was seeing some amazing things with some trainers and people that were helping in alignment and posture. And again, if I'm all in one, I want to make sure I have every tool that I can do to help people. And a lot of times people that have chronic knee pain, shoulder pain, foot pain, it's due to improper alignment. You know, medication and injections and surgeries, the pain is a symptom. And they get that to take care of the symptom. Well, a ghost can get to the cause by realigning the body. And there's some amazing things that the clinics are doing. And I got certified in this over the summer and are as actively using it in my process now. And it's really helping people. So it's really another aspect of basically all-in-one to what we call straighten before strengthening. So it helps to get the body straightened out, make sure you're functioning it. If you're pain, we can limit the pain. Myself as a distance runner, I've done 10 marathons. And I've actually signed up to do a 50-mile, 24-hour, actually it's a 24-hour race, a minimum of 50 miles I'm going to be doing in July 4th down at Philadelphia Art Museum. And just before really getting to Ghost Go, I almost had to stop because of my left hip pain going down to my outside of my knee, and this got me back on track, and I'm running pain-free again. So it's really some simple exercise, a lot of yoga influence and other things that they put together, but it's amazing things that it's done. And you could actually go to ghostgoo.com, and you can get educated more about what a ghost goo is.
That makes a lot of sense, straighten before strengthen, that because many people start working out and they aren't properly aligned, and they start to get things even worse, askew.
Exactly.
So that makes a lot of sense. What do you recommend about when people have food cravings or other self-defeating habits? What's your approach to getting them beyond these kinds of things?
Well, I think the food cravings or the self-defeating habits are sometimes kind of two different things. With food cravings, we identify where the cravings are coming for, what time, what things are around. And when I look at food cravings, where a lot of people from a nutrition standpoint, we've got so many labelings going on, good, bad, diet soda, good, bad, farm-raised salmon, good, bad, a lot of things that are going out, and there's some pretty good clear education and some questions. But my approach is non-beneficial choice, better choice, optimal choice. So instead of something going, I'm craving McDonald's, and I'm going to get a double quarter pounder with cheese, an extra large fry and everything. It's like, well, what might be a better choice here in that thing there? And, you know, even if you get someone to get a small cheeseburger and a small fry, you're like, Mark, how can you suggest that? I'm like, well, the person's going to get a double quarter pounder, extra large fry, milkshake. They made a better choice. And sometimes when a craving is taking control, that if you can make a better choice that's going to halfway satisfy, it's going to take a toll on the long-term damage, then that's a better choice and you progressively make the changes. And then kind of the feelings that they have is more through the coaching going on and recognizing where that's coming from and seeing how they might be able to move forward of it or what might help them make feel better or what, if they sat there and focused on some food choices or even especially where with fitness. Cardiovascular activity, you type in exercise, cardiovascular, of depression, hypertension, energy. There's so many things of just getting up and moving, kind of looking at the feelings and things and where that's coming from.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We're coming up on the end of the show, so I want to make sure listeners know how to get in touch and learn more about your programs and how to contact you. So can you give your contact information, and we'll see if we'll have time for one more question.
Yeah, absolutely. It's All in One Wellness. And you can reach me, you can see my website at allnwon.com. That's allnwon.com. That's my website. Or if you want to send me a quick email with a question or about further services, you can reach me at allnwon@gmail.com. And those are the two easiest ways to see my website, find out more information about it. And if you need to contact me directly, you can do me right through email.
Great, and it's a very, very informative website. Do go and check it out and learn about Mark's different aspects that we've been able to just touch the surface, but it's truly impressive. So just one more question about self-defeating habits. So I find so often that's because people are low energy and highly stressed. So what do you recommend if someone just can't quit smoking, or they're drinking too much in the evening, or other bad habits?
I think if you're looking at two different areas, if it's, you know, the if you're looking at a habit versus there's a concern of an addiction or anything, two different areas to go on that. But a lot of things is basically the ability to detach in a positive way. I'm huge on detachment. A lot of times these bad habits are being overly stressed and going. If we find can sit there and detach in a positive way, to sit there and go, hey, you know, it might be going out for a walk. It might be, hey, do you have a great book? Do you like to read? Or is there something you can just go in a room and sit down and breathe and take it easy? Or just, you know, taking a, you know, a lot of times people, you know, take a day and go away, go to a park, go to a nature center, go somewhere where you can really detachment. Detachment is so key in controlling stress and rejuvenating your energy. My endurance athletes out there and runners and bikers and triathletes, we all know that without proper recovery, and rest, that we don't maximize our potential. Well, in life, it's the same way. If you don't have the ability to detach and to rest and recuperate and get away from those things, whether it be work, stress, family, whatever you might need to do, that's part of you becoming your best possible self. And taking the signs to say, hey, I'm okay doing that, that's a tough thing to get through. But once people do, it's like it can be rejuvenating to them.
That's great. That's a great place to stop. Your program is totally holistic and people can fit it into their lives. And I hope they will go to your website and check it out. And thank you so much for being our guest, Mark. I really appreciate it, and have a great holidays.
Well, Randy, thank you so much for having me today. I always have fun visiting you to be able to do the show and talk wellness. I could talk wellness anytime you want. So it was a great time. I thank you for your time, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday yourself and all the listeners out there. Have a happy, healthy holiday.
Yes, please do, and thanks for listening. Bye now.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolf, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family, and we hope to see you here next week.